Psalm 95 verses. I think we forgot already.
What was the scripture for January? Psalm 95 verses 6 to 7.
Okay, now, when I read Psalm 95, 1 to 5, I would like you to respond by reading Psalm, the 6 to 7th verse, okay? Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. And come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Father, we thank You that we can come before You today to be able to worship You. Father, we pray that You will be with us today, that You would open our eyes to see You, open our mouth to be able to sing Your praise, open our ears to hear Your words, open our minds and our hearts for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Father, come. Come today and please be with us today in our worship. We thank You. In Christ's name we pray. see the glory of the Lord when we come to worship Him. I don't know when, especially with mothers here, when we wash things. You know, do you know a teacup? You know, whenever we drink tea, there's always stain. And sometimes when the light is not that clear, not bright enough, we don't see the stain. But once the light shines on it, you know, then we see the stain so distinctly. And usually, it's very hard to wash it out. And sometimes we use a lot of things to try to wash it out, and it doesn't wash out. You know, the only way to wash out, I just read it today, there's a tip that says if we use baking soda and water and let it sit there for a while, the stain will just, you know, just clean out by themselves. It's the same thing, I think, with ourselves, with our lives. When we come under the microscope, under the light of God, you know, we start to see ourselves as sinners. But you know, a lot of times we don't know how we can be cleansed by it. But you know, only the blood of Christ can clean us from all this unrighteousness. And so the next song that we're going to sing, hymn number 202, or Up There Nothing But the Blood, it says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For all our sins, we cannot wash it with soap, our sins. When we say something bad, can we wash it with soap, our mouth? No. But only Jesus can wash our sins away. And nothing we can do can change or make us clean as God's blood. Shall we try it? Let us continue our worship with the scripture reading, just by the scripture memory verse. Can somebody read to me, memorize to me? 2 Timothy. You don't have it? Oh, okay. That means you've memorized it already, right? Who have memorized 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 to 17? By the way, what's the theme for this month? Scripture. What's the theme for last month? Yes. So now scripture. Can we all read? It's in your bulletin. Okay? We'll read it two times. The third time you're going to memorize. Okay? That goes for the parents too. We're going to compete with the parents. We'll see who memorizes first, the parents or the children. Okay? Aww. Let's go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, it's useful for what? All scripture is what? It's God-breathed. And it's useful for what? T-R-C-T. Can you remember this? T-R-C-T. T is for teaching. R, rebuking. C, correcting. T, training in righteousness. So that what kind of men of what? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, let's read it one more time. Ready? And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is God and is useful for T, R, C, and T in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, let's try to see who can memorize it better, the children or the parents. All kids, let's go. Ready? No cheating. Ready? Remember, T-R-C-T. Okay, let's do it. Ready? And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. All scripture is brief and is useful for teaching R, C, T, righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay, now parents, your turn. No cheating. Ready? Go. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 to 17. Kids, make sure they're not cheating. All scripture is and is useful for T, R, C, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. Okay. Everybody, one last time. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses. Let us all read it louder. And all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for T, R, C, T in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Very good. Now, let us all turn our scripture to today's reading, which is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. We have asked the Lord that day by day, we have asked Him three things we pray: to see Him more clearly, to love Him more dearly, to follow him more nearly day by day. And that is what is it's meant to take up our cross and follow him, as today's scripture says. Shall we all read it together? Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet he hath lost all forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now may we ask the children to gently and quietly go to their respect. No running, please. Oh, there's a children's sermon. Oh, I'm so sorry. Kids, come back, please. There's a children's sermon. Can you all come to the front?
This way. Face me, not face the audience. Face me. Face me. Because otherwise, I will be, my back will be facing, and you have to watch that. So, come. Turn around. Over here. Let me standing on the steps. Do you still recall the scripture that we just read about a minute ago? Jesus said something that is rather difficult, rather harsh. Let me read that for you again. This is in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And he said, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels." Shall we bow our head and pray? Let's bow our head and pray together. Dear Lord, we ask you to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, our inner eyes, so that we will understand your words. Sometimes we know that your words recorded on the Bible is not easy for us to grasp and understand. But yet, you will open our eyes and help us to understand. So tonight, may you speak to our hearts. Even though we are young, we are still small, but yet, with your Holy Spirit, we'll be able to understand the truth, and the truth shall set us free. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to tell you two stories. These two stories help us to highlight the scripture that we read. Now, you see the picture of a man on the screen. This guy, his name is Robert Latourneau. Letourneau, probably a French last name. He founded a university, and one of us, among us, is going to school in that university in Texas. His name is Daniel Chiu. Okay, I just learned last week. And when I look into his life, it's something very interesting. Okay, and can you come up with another slide, the next one? Now, he found a company called the Letourneau Equipment Company. Okay, any one of those that makes this kind of machine. You see that? What do you call this kind of machine? Tractors or bulldozer, right? That move a big earth, big amount of earth, and drill. And can you come up with another screen? Construction vehicles. Yeah, if you can turn up the lights, that would be nice. See, those big things. And then I have another slide that he built those big platforms. You set it out in the ocean and drill down to the ocean floor to draw what up?
Oil,
yes. Can we see that? Yeah. His company makes these kind of things. And he's probably the biggest company in the world and the best company in the world to making these equipments.
Now, I'm going to tell you a story when he was young. He died in 1969. He was born in 1888. He died in 1969. And he started up his company when there was a period of time in American history, it was so poor, the country. It's called the Great Depression. Heard about that? The Great Depression, the stock market crash, everybody lose their job, you know, it's 1,000 times worse than right now. And in the middle of all these difficulties, his company was able to make some money. 1 year, he made $35,000 profit. And he's a good Christian. He promised God he will tithe. He will donate part of his earning to the church, to God's ministry. But in that year, he made $35,000. He said, let me hold back the $5,000 this year. Let me hold it back. If I use this $5,000 to invest, to put in another place, to buy some other things, in 1 year, this $5,000, under my calculation, under my smart calculation, it would generate into $100,000. And with that $100,000, Lord, I will give you more. So he did that. You know what happened? When he did that, not only he did not make $100,000, but he was $100,000 in debt. He not only loses $5,000, he lose much more than $5,000. So that brought him in despair. He and his wife kneel down in the home, cry out to the Lord, confess the sin that he was a selfish guy. Even though he said, oh, I try to save this money so when I make more money so that I can pay you back more. But actually, deep down inside, he was thinking about himself first instead of the Lord. Now, he learned that lesson. He learned that lesson. And he made a commitment to the Lord. From now on, 90% of my income in my entire life, I will set up a foundation, donate all those money to the foundation to help mission work, to help your ministry. So he set up a Latinx foundation. At one point, that foundation worth $40 million. And they send out missionary, they support mission works, they support churches in Central and South America. Now he died. He said this before he died. He said, all in my entire life, it is not how much money I give to God, but how much of God's money I keep for myself. Let me say that again. He said, it is not how much money I give to God, but how much of God's money I keep for myself. Why am I telling you this story? Jesus, in that passage, asking us, giving us a challenge to follow him, pick up a cross every day to follow him, right? And Jesus says something. If you want to grasp this world, one day you're going to lose. Not only lose the world, but also lose your very self. Latournelle, Robert Latournelle, learned that lesson. Learned that lesson. You know, the second story I'm going to tell you is, do you know how people catch a monkey? How do you catch a monkey? Yeah? But I suspect monkeys are much, much smarter. They will not come to the cage. You know, I learned something. In Southeast Asia, countries in Indonesia, Philippines, Malaysia, the native people have a very smart way to catch a monkey. They don't use cage. They don't use gun. They don't use weapon. They only use one thing. They found a tree trunk, make it hollow, make a little hole, and put some nuts in there, peanuts and all these things, and then bake those, what do you call that? Yeah, catchers, and put it in there. And then the native people would run away and hide behind the bushes, and they wait patiently for a monkey to appear. So the monkey come and find out, one of them going to find out, hey, food's in there, nuts in there. So they get in and get the nuts. They are very happy. So next time, they change the nuts, the small nuts, into bigger nuts. Bigger. Why? Because when the monkey get in there, they hold the nuts, and then he get a fistful of nuts, and he cannot pull his fist out. Get stuck in there. Now, with one, they can gradually get it. But when you're holding it, then your fist getting bigger and cannot pass the hole. And when the native people saw that, they jump out from behind the bush, knocking all sort of gongs and drums. The monkey gets scared. But the monkey was so caught up with their own desire, the greed, that they want the nut. So they pulling their arms out and they can't pull. And then the native people come and grab the monkey without using any violence, without using any weapons. The monkey was caught by his own desire. This is what Jesus told us tonight in the scripture. If we want to grab this world, we will lose ourselves. The invitation that Jesus gave us was actually a blessing. Asked us to set something free in order to gain a precious freedom. Let's bow and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand that your invitation, even though sounds like a very heavy requirement, but yet you are for our own good. You want to bless us so that in our life we will have freedom. Help us to remember these little story illustration. So when we grow up someday, when we face temptation, when we face a choice, we will recall your word. We will recall your love toward us. I pray for all the youngsters tonight. You bless them. You bless them with your own presence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go. I guess you find it interesting for those two stories for yourself too, right? Even though we are much more older. Tonight, I would like to still share with you from this passage. And the title is Gaining and Losing. Gaining and Losing. Let's read the scripture one more time. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. This scripture is set in a setting that we cannot take it away from its context. And the context starts on verse 1 to 9. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. If you see your chapter 9, the Bible, you see that Jesus sent out his disciples to go out to demonstrate in power and in words to show them God's kingdom. To show them God's kingdom is there. And when the people encounter Jesus' disciples, they basically cast out one question. The question is, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? He shows such an authority and power. Even his follower seems to have the same authority and power to cast out demons, to get the sick healed. That's the first part of chapter 9, 1 to 9. From verses 10 to 22, Jesus demonstrates his divine power by feeding the 5,000 men. Now, at that time, they count people, they only count men, okay? They don't count the women. Now, today, we count. Otherwise, our church will be significantly smaller. They count it. So, imagine, that would be a lot. And they don't count the youngsters, the kids also. When they do that, when Jesus shows his power, feeding the 5,000, and people get stirred up, right? The crowd gets stirred up. They get excited because following Jesus, we get food. We don't have to worry about it. Look, five loaves of bread and two fishes, right? I'm not mixing it up, right? And can feed 5,000 and probably more than that. So what do we worry about? And then Jesus asked them, now this time, not the crowd cast out a question, but Jesus cast out a similar question. The first time, Jesus facing a question, who is this Jesus? People ask. Now Jesus asked them a question, who am I? Who am I? He basically asking his disciple, who do you think I am? Now the disciple come up with different answers. Or people say you are so-and-so prophet. People say you are so-and-so. But Jesus pressing the issue, said, who do you think I am? I'm not asking you who other people think I am. Who do you think I am? And only Peter come up with the correct answer. You are Christ. You are the Christ of God. You are Christ of God. Now, why am I telling you this former part, the beginning part of chapter 9? Because Luke here tried to set up a stage to frame us into this paragraph. Jesus basically gave out an invitation. Jesus in this passage gave out an invitation. But the invitation itself has to do with who he is. Sending out 12 disciples, casting out demons, healing the sick, showing the power of the kingdom, a glorious king, a king is going to reign the universe, a king is going to come and judge. But yet, Jesus has another aspect. He is also a suffering servant. That is the precise reason why when Peter said, you are Christ of God, Jesus tell him, don't tell this to anyone. That's the reason, because Jesus come as a suffering servant to fulfill the will of God, so therefore this is his two aspects of his very being. And he gave us an invitation. He gave us an invitation into nice passage that if we're going to follow him, we are not going to follow him in the beginning in a glorious way, but in a humble way. In a humble way, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross every day. This is his very nature. And this consists his invitation for us to follow him, to be like him. We have to be a servant first. To be a servant first, we have to deny ourselves, to take up the cross for his sake. Because Jesus said, when we do that, we will gain something much bigger than this world. We will gain something much bigger than this world. Just like in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said it himself, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Before we have a full life, we have to let go of some of the things that's occupying our lives so that we will be an empty vessel to receive the full blessing of the Lord. Just like the story I told the little kids about a monkey being caught, right? I think we understand the story. If we are being so caught up with those little things in our lives, we do not know that we are already in captivity. Only when you let it go, then we will have the true freedom, the pursuit, the freedom, the full life that Christ wants us to pursue. Now, how do we pursue that? I break it down basically according to the scripture. In order to gain Christ, to gain the full blessing of love, we have to lose ourselves. How do you lose yourself? To deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? What does deny mean? To deny yourself means not to follow ourselves, but not to allow ourselves to be the center of our lives. Not to let you be the center of your life. There's a very famous Bible scholar by the name C.E.B. Cranfield. He wrote a lot of books about Romans, the book of Romans. He basically defining deny oneself, he said it this way. To deny oneself is to turn away from the idolatry of self-centeredness. To turn away the idol of self-centered. You know, I always, when I in Sunday school, I teach about spiritual warfare with the the young Christians. Spiritual warfare is not just casting out demons, healing the sick, that sort of thing. This is just part of the spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is much more part of our ordinary life. Because according to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, Paul defines spiritual warfare in three aspects. The first one is to follow the custom, the way of this world, the value system of this world. The second one is to follow the ruler in the air, the power, the principles. That the special character of the principle is rebellious. And the third way in chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul defines, there's a very subtle aspect of spiritual warfare, is gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. If we translate into very plain English, is to try to satisfy all sort of needs in our lives. That is part of the spiritual warfare. You know, we have needs. We have needs of drinking water. We have needs of food. These needs God gave us is good. Nothing wrong with it. But if we do not control the needs, then there will be a problem. Think about it. You remember a couple of weeks ago there was a lawsuit in New York City, someone suing McDonald's. Do you remember that? There's a parent suing McDonald's. Why? Because the kid gaining a lot of weight and then destroying his health. Now, this is exactly what Paul was talking about. If we let our needs run wild, then the need would in turn not only control our life, rule over our lives, also destroy our lives. Take eating. You and I enjoy food. Okay, we're Chinese, we especially enjoy all sort of food. Okay, but if the need is not under control, then you eat more, and then you go out, you go to Gap, you go to whatever store, you change your clothing size, okay, loosening your belt more and more. This is happening to me recently. Okay, and now then problem will come. You start to have high blood pressure, heart disease, cholesterol problem, and eventually maybe even some of the diabetes kind of thing. You know, the diabetic disaster in America is growing. Partly the reason is the need of eating those junk food is uncontrollable. We let them control our life, and then in turn, that will destroy us. To deny ourselves means do not let your need, let yourself to be the center of your own life. To deny yourself also means not to fight Christ's leadership, not to fight his lordship in our lives. How do you not to fight the lordship in our life? Do you heard about a kind of car, race car, Italy made? It's called Lamborghini. Heard about that? I think boys heard about that. Girls might not. I don't know. I learned about this word, Lamborghini. When I was a junior high school teacher, one of my boys, is a Spanish kid, came up to me. You know, we did one exercise. Oh, if I have $1 million, how am I going to spend that? Then he come up with, I want to buy a Lamborghini for myself, a yellow Lamborghini for myself. I said, what is Lamborghini? So he showed me a picture. You know, the picture of that kind of fancy sport car. The door is not open like ours. Okay, it opened like this. Okay, now you get the idea, right? You only see those cars on magazines. And I think I saw it once in the United States. I forgot where. A bright red one. And imagine you have a car like that, parking in your driveway. Someone gave it to you. Okay, you look at it. And then when you step on the gas, woo! Uncontrollable. Wow, the power is so great. I drive it to work every day. From North Brunswick to RCCC. And then come back there. And every day I run into traffic. Okay. Now, the car was designed to perform much, much better, right? You can race. You put it in the highway. Ooh, no police can catch you. But you're using it for your daily job every day you commute. and stuck in traffic. And people drive by and look at you. They're driving a Honda Accord and look at you. What is this guy doing? You know, I can even drive faster than he does. Now, one day, a guy come. He looks like a mafia guy, speaking in an Italian accent. I knock on your door and say, "Hey, you got a beautiful car on your driveway." "Oh, yeah, thank you. You mind I drive it?" "No. No, I'm not going to give you the drive. I am the designer. I'm the engineer to design the Lamborghini. I came all the way from Italy. I made this one." Then you, "Wow. Yeah. Let you drive. Let me sit on the passenger side." Okay. This is exactly what I'm trying to explain this point. Denying ourselves means not to fight Christ's lordship over our lives. You and I, our life, God made it. The only way to let our life to shine, to be abundantly a blessing for us, for our family, as well for people around us, is to let the engineer use your life. To let the designer use your life, have complete control of your life. And then he will know how to drive the Lamborghini. He will know how to drive your Lamborghini to a degree that you were amazed, "I will never be able to do that." Anybody seeing anyone driving on a car, and then I'm not talking about backseat driver, I'm talking about the passenger side driver, you know, when he's driving, and that person stick out an arm, "No, turn this way, turning the steering wheel." That would be very dangerous, right? That's the way. Sometimes we use this way to fight with God's lordship over our lives. "Jesus, don't go this way. I want to go that way. You know, I let you drive my car just for Sunday. Monday to Saturday is mine. And when you drive, I have to put my hand on the wheel. So when you come to this turn, I don't want to turn. You go straight." Who's in charge? But sometimes when we do that, we miss a lot of chances that the Lord would use our life to be a blessing. To deny ourselves, sometimes, if we translate into our daily experience, to deny ourselves sometimes is you may want to consider apologizing when you're wrong versus you want to save your face and hold on with your pride when you did something wrong. Apologize to your parent. Maybe parent apologize to your children if you are wrong. Or to give up a relationship that might be counterproductive to your Christian growth and unhealthy, instead of dragging on, carry on, not listening to other people's advice. Or maybe serving others when you are still in need, instead of insisting that having your needs meet first before you serve others. This is all denying ourselves. When we lose ourselves, we find a new kind of freedom to know and do what Jesus desires us to do. Jesus asks us to deny ourselves and to take up our own cross to follow him daily. What does take up our own cross mean? I would like to share with you. In Jesus' day, take up a cross is a part of the death penalty. When someone sentenced to death, in the Roman world, this is custom. They carry a wooden beam. Contrary to our own impression of Jesus like carrying the whole cross on his shoulder, actually it's not the whole cross. You're carrying the horizontal beam. The vertical one already waiting for you over there. You carry that. And when you carry that, you walk through the streets. Chinese have similar custom. We don't carry the beam. But you see those, I don't know, when you see your parents watching those Chinese soap opera, especially those ancient ones, they dress in the Chinese robes. And when they have a criminal, they always have this Youjie parade. Get on it. Similar thing. The Roman did the same thing. When you do that, this is what Jesus talked about, carrying our own cross. What does that mean? At least has three meanings. First, carrying our own cross is an instrument of death. An instrument of death. Death to what? Death to our old sinful nature. Death to our old self. Death to your flesh. What does that mean? I have permission to share with you one of the stories. Actually, this family is among us. I know this brother, a dear brother. They have three kids. I still recall years ago, I think it's about less than 10 years, probably about 10 years ago, something like that. They live in East Brunswick. This family come to Christ. This brother come to Christ. I was visiting him, and then I felt that he is ready to accept Christ, so I led him a prayer to accept Jesus. When he accepted Jesus, something very, very significant happened in his life. Now, he's a chain smoker. He told me he smoked one pack of cigarette every day. Within 1 week, he lose that habit. He lose that need to smoke. And not only he was a heavy smoker, he also played bridge. You know, the it's not poker game, but it's much more complicated. But he played bridge because he's a smart guy. He played bridge. And he played bridge with friends. Those are non-Christian friends. They have to get together once every week. Every weekend, they get together to play. And when they play, they smoke, they talk, and then they play like, you know, 12, 15, 16 hours. Get deep into the game. And one day he told me, I feel so much guilt when I go back to the game. I feel like God wants me to give up this kind of habit. When I led him for the prayer to accept Jesus in 1 month, not only he doesn't need to smoke anymore, he gave up his bridge game until today. Until today. This is dying. Dying to our old self. Dying to our sinful nature. Dying to the things that's not pleasing to God in God's eye. Carry our cross every day. The second meaning of carrying our cross is the cross is an instrument of shame and humiliation. Shame and humiliation. Imagine the prisoner. He has been sentenced. That means he's already convicted. People seeing him walking on the street carrying the heavy wooden beam, being beaten by the soldiers. They probably mock him, spit on him, laughing at him, cursing him. You're worthy to be died, to put the death sentence. You are such a horrible person. Shame and humiliation. When we carry our cross every day, sometimes we go through that. I still recall there was one incident. You know, in Taiwan, all the men has to serve in military, in the army, in the navy, in the air force before they can leave the country. It's a drafting system. It's not a like in the United States, you sign up for that sort of like professional military service. In Taiwan, everybody, all the young men has to serve in the army or in the military force for 2 years. I still recall some of my high school classmate. I mean college classmate. We grew up in the same fellowship group in Taiwan. When they go to have their military service, because I wasn't born in Taiwan, so I was exempt from that. And when they go, usually they come back, they share, especially Christians, share the first testimony. Is when they have all this new soldier under training, they give you exercise, you are so exhausted. So when every meal, when it comes, they all rush into the dining hall, sit there, and waiting for the commanding officer to say, you can eat now. Then they grab the food. Okay, usually for breakfast it's a bun, a steamed bun, 馒头, that sort of thing. You know, I never find that attractive. You know, when Christian get into the military force, when they do that, when they eat, they first they will say grace. Now this has always happened when they say grace, when they open the eye, the bun is gone. Because people from next to them grab that, you know, they try to mock them. They laugh at them. You Christian, you pray to your God and your food is gone. You know, this is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Sometimes when we bear the cross, sometimes we follow him. We will pay the price of humiliation. We will pay the price of shame by this world. By the world standard, they don't like us. They will look at you like some sort of weird creature. But We are following Christ. We are following Christ. Mocked by people in the school, mocked by your colleague in your workplace. Sometimes because you have to come to church on Sunday, you cannot do overtime. And therefore, someone who enter in the company at the same time as you are, work as hard as you are, you even work harder than him, maybe he get promoted faster than you do. Because you are bearing the cross. You are picking up the cross to follow Jesus. The third meaning of picking up our cross to follow Jesus every day is when we take up the cross, it is a one-way trip. It is no return. As if in ancient time, the death prisoner going to the place is being executed. He will not going back. There's no return. That in other words, Jesus invites us to make a choice. We all know about a very famous opera singer, Pavarotti, the big guy, beer, okay? You know, when he was young, probably maybe younger than most of you tonight sitting here, he faced a choice. He was in his native village in Italy. So his father is a baker. Open up a bakery, baker baking those Italian bread, that sort of thing. And his father loved singing. So he introduced his son to all sort of these classical singing songs. So when he found out that his son so loved to sing, he urged him to develop your voice, to develop your voice. And then he even arranged as a local professional singer to help his son, to help his son. Now, one day, when Pavarotti is old enough, he faced a choice. He said, I can go to this big city to go to the teacher's college and get it. When I graduate, I will get a job to be a public school teacher. Or I can pursue a way of a professional singer. He was wondering, which way should I choose? Or maybe I can get both. When I go to teacher's college, being a student, I can also learn how to sing. Keep on singing. His father gave him one advice. His father said, son, he pulled out two chairs from the bakery. I put two chairs here. In between is a gap. You try to sit on both chairs. If you try to sit on both chairs, you will fall in between. You have to choose one. Make your choice and stick with it. So Pavarotti chose the path of singing. And with that encouragement, with that advice from his father, he continued to grow and be successful today. Now, we might not be a professional singer, but oftentimes, we might have to choose. Choose between what? Choose between being popular or choose Jesus. Which way do we choose? Take an image of a stamp. We all mail our letters, right? Christmas card, this sort of thing. Have you ever paid attention to the little stamp that you buy from the post office? The postage stamp? Now, the postage stamp, right nowadays, you don't have to lick it. It's self-adhesive, right? You peel off, take it there. But the stamp only be useful when it's stuck on something until that thing goes to the destination. Think about yourself as a stamp. If you don't stick with someone, you don't stick with Jesus, it will be useless. Only our life will be useful, meaningful, when we stick with him and follow him through all the way. Let's bow and pray. Dear Lord, you have given us an invitation to follow you, to deny ourselves and take up a cross to follow you every day. Lord, because not only you are reigning king, someday you will come back and judge us, but also you came as a suffering servant, a humble server to serve each one of us. And you want us to serve this world, also serve you. Lord, help us tonight, each one of us, regardless of our age, experience. Help us to be a useful stem that will be able to stick with you, stick all the way through until the end. Give us the courage. Bless us. Sometimes we look at this, sounds like we are paying a dear price. But yet, by losing our own self, we gain you, the King of the universe, the most powerful God in our lives. Help us to open our eyes to see the beauty of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the courage to make the right choice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing a song? Turn to your hymnal number 411. I'd rather have Jesus. So we all stand up and sing.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver, gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than house or land. I'd rather be led by His mercy's hand, and to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread whispering. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. This world afford today the third stance. His fair and lilies are of rarest bloom. His sweeter than honey from out of the comb. His all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead, than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread swing. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Let's bow our head one more time to pray for ourselves. Are we really rather have Jesus than all the things this world can afford? Pray for yourself. If you wish, you can rededicate yourself to the Lord, to let Him guide you, to love Him, to follow Him, to serve Him. Oh, dear Jesus, we thank You for dying on the cross for each one of us. You know that we are hopeless. We cannot do anything about our own sin. And therefore, You came. You completely give Yourself to us. We thank You tonight. We thank You for Your everlasting love. Help us to be strong in You. Help us to respond to Your love with our own dedication as a love token. To respond to You. Listen to all our prayers. Touch each one of us tonight. May the love of the Heavenly Father, the grace manifest in our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for each one of us, to atone us. and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us until we see the Lord again. Amen. Please be seated.